we're checking in on the latest news from the Joint Finance Committee. The legislature's budget committee met this week to take up changes to Governor Scott Walker's plan for Wisconsin's long-term care system for elderly and disabled people. Sean Johnson has been covering this story, and he's here to tell us the details. He's the state government reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, Veronica.
Well, the biggest news so far, at least, out of the Joint Finance Committee this week is the decision to change the state's long-term care system. And let's start with Governor Walker's proposed changes. How did he want to overhaul the system?
Yeah, he wanted to make some pretty big changes to the system. And when we're talking about long-term care programs, we're talking about family care and IRIS, or the programs that have gotten a lot of attention. What the governor's plan would have done is he would have taken family care statewide. It's now available in more than 50 counties, but not everywhere. But at the same time, he would have turned it over potentially to a couple for-profit insurance companies to run as an HMO model statewide. And he would have ended the IRIS program. And the IRIS program is self-directed care, where people get a budget. Elderly and disabled people get a budget. They get to decide their own mix of long-term care. You know, they could spend that budget on somebody potentially to help them bathe or prepare a meal, or even could spend the budget to help them get ready to enter the workforce. It kind of is up to them. So that would have been gone under the governor's budget, and that's why at the public hearings on this plan, you heard IRIS participants, IRIS caregivers, and family members of disabled people saying, please don't do this. We like IRIS.
And why did the governor say that the system needed to change?
Initially, he didn't say much because it caught people by surprise. This wasn't something that came out of his own Department of Health Services. It's something that came as a directive of the governor. Eventually, he said that it was a cost-saving measure, that the state's Medicaid costs are eating up a larger piece of the budget all the time, and that these were proposals that were aimed at reducing those costs over the long term.
And that was, as you said, something that a lot of advocates of those who didn't want the programs to change, programs like family care and IRIS, they were advocating to leave things alone. Before we went into this Joint Finance Committee taking it up, what indication did they have about where the Joint Finance Committee was headed with it?
They were a little uneasy because Republican lawmakers said they were not going to support Governor Walker's proposal when it came to IRIS and family care. But they kind of left it open as to supporting elements of the governor's plan, you know, if not the entire plan itself. And I think if you look at what they did yesterday, there are obvious similarities to what the governor proposed with, I think, what Republican lawmakers would say are important differences, especially when it comes to IRIS.
Well, what did they decide?
Yeah, so they did go along with the governor on a statewide expansion of family care, and they are going to have Governor Walker's Department of Health Services submit a waiver to the federal government for the chance to make pretty significant changes to the state's long-term care system. I think the biggest fundamental change could be that they would allow for-profit insurance companies to have a spot, a role in running the system. They also would, as part of that waiver, they would phase out IRIS eventually. And so that is something that IRIS advocates definitely did not want and were not happy with yesterday. But at the same time, they would direct the Department of Health Services to say, as part of your new system, we're going to have something just like IRIS. You're still going to have self-directed care. You're still going to have choices. It'll be there whether or not it's called IRIS and is exactly the program we know today.
And what have advocates of leaving IRIS intact had to say about that?
I mean, they were pretty, downtrodden as they left the committee yesterday, the people that showed up to watch this. I think fundamentally for some of them, when you change the system to be partially run by for-profit insurance companies who have to make money off of it, they're going to make that money, these advocates think, by reducing the amount of choices that they have right now, that there's no way a for-profit insurance company is going to give them the same range of options that they have right now when it comes to IRAs. So that's really kind of their biggest fear, and they had very strong words for the legislature yesterday, saying that they basically violated the trust of the public by not listening at these hearings. Again, this is something where Republicans pushed back and said, you know, this may not be IRIS, but we're asking the DHS to keep all the same stuff in whatever they develop.
And what's the case that Republican lawmakers on the JFC have made about how this is distinct from Governor Walker's plan?
I think that's the biggest one. Some of the other ones are that they would preserve some degree of regional control over the system. Right now, family care is chopped up into regions, the argument being that every part of Wisconsin is kind of unique in the way that it delivers its health care. There are, you know, big institutions in some parts of the state and not in other, and so it's always been chopped up that way. They would preserve some of that regional care. They would preserve what are known as aging and disability resource centers, where, you know, people who want to enter the long-term care system and get home-based care through family care or IRIS, instead of going into a nursing home, they check in there first, and I mean, that's kind of their gateway to the system. So that's still in there. Those are in, you know, those are significant changes. But as far as kind of that sea change in the way that we run long-term care in Wisconsin, from not-for-profit you know, groups, organizations making a lot of the calls to for-profit HMOs, that's still in the plan that passed the Joint Finance Committee.
We're talking with WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson, talking about the JFC's decisions yesterday regarding Wisconsin's long-term care programs. And Sean, you know, these changes have not been affected yet, it's not finalized, but what do we know about how people's coverage or programs could change?
And well, until any kind of you know, this proposal that they have to put before the federal government, this waiver proposal, until that's approved, this stuff isn't going to go away. I mean, the program will operate as is for the time being. However, there is a budget cut associated with this. The governor's budget and the budget that passed the Finance Committee yesterday does ask for the state to find some kind of savings within these programs, didn't really specify how, and also that the changes that they're proposing to the system don't actually come with any you know, associated cost savings. I mean, the Fiscal Bureau didn't put a number to them and say, here's how much you're going to save by moving to this system. We don't know. We don't know that it's going to save the state. The thinking is that it will save the state long term, but there's no hard numbers to attach to that.
Now, before we let you go, let's just touch on a couple of the other things that JFC covered yesterday. One included local room taxes. What was that about?
That came out of nowhere. It was the very end of the Finance Committee, as these proposals sometimes come out. And essentially, it would give local governments less power over how to use their own room taxes. Instead of making that call on their own, it would be turned over to a board. It's just some question over how that board would look. And for Madison in particular, lawmakers were really worried that these changes would endanger the way that they spend their room tax dollars, especially on operating Monona Terrace.
And they also talked about earmarked taxpayer money for private building projects. What happened there?
Yeah, they added a couple things to the Building Commission budget that were not there before. So a few weeks ago, they took this Eau Claire Confluence project out of the budget. The governor had put it in there, a $15 million investment from the state for this project in Eau Claire. They took it out a few weeks ago. Yesterday, they put it back in but instead of paying for it with state tax money all up front right away, they put it in the Building Commission budget, so they're going to bond for it. They're going to borrow for it, which is the way that state typically pays for these building projects. They also approved money for a chemistry building at the UW-Madison, which is something that didn't make it through the Building Commission process, but something that very early on a number of majority Republicans said they wanted to see, and this is also something that Democratic lawmakers like too in Madison.
And in a way, the week is still young in the sense that there are still a lot of really big issues left on the table, only one day left in the week. But what are some of those big issues that still have to be taken up by the JFC?
Yeah, most of them, really. I mean, at the beginning of the week, kind of made a list of everything that was coming up yet and said these should all be done by the end of the week. These should all be resolved if everything goes as planned by Friday. And we've gotten one of them out of the way now with long-term care. We still have the University of Wisconsin and the governor's $300 million cut there. What's going to happen there? We still have this Milwaukee Bucks arena deal, which is starting to shape up, but nothing's final yet. We still have the Department of Transportation budget and a bunch of borrowing there that lawmakers don't like, but they don't know what they're going to do instead. And now we've got this fight over prevailing wage that's created quite a rift among Republicans, with conservative media urging Republicans to completely repeal Wisconsin's prevailing wage law for government construction projects, and Republican legislative leaders saying, look, we don't have the votes. So it's not, I wouldn't be surprised, even though they're scheduled to take all this stuff up tomorrow, it's kind of looking like it's not going to wrap up tomorrow and that it might go into the weekend or even next week.
Sean will be watching. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was Sean Johnson, WPR state government reporter, who's with us to talk about the Joint Finance Committee's decisions on changing Wisconsin's long-term care program for the elderly and the disabled.